You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 22nd of September, 2022, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, as it's Thursday, that means we have with us geopolitical analyst Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from rustjournal.org. Matt, good day, sir. How are you doing?
Oh, it's a very good day. Fall has begun. Normal, civilized weather that I don't complain about every 5 minutes has started. And that automatically puts me in a good mood because I hate the summer.
Well, that's great that you like the weather cooling down. I must say it's not too cold and it's not too hot. So it's just about right. But we're here today to talk about what's going on in the financial world, because it appears there is a global planned financial tsunami on its way. And the article we are going to use today is actually written by F. William Engdahl. And that's a name that I haven't heard for a few years, but it's certainly a name that should be accorded respect. He says, since the creation of the US Federal Reserve over a century ago, every major financial market collapse has been deliberately triggered for political motives by the central bank. The situation is no different today, as clearly the US Fed is acting with its interest rate weapon to crash what is the greatest speculative financial bubble in human history. A bubble it created. Global crash events always begin on the periphery, such as with the 1931 Austrian Kreditanstalt or the Lehman Brothers failure in September 2008. The June 15th decision by the Fed to impose the largest single rate hike in almost 30 years, as financial markets are already in a meltdown, now guarantees a global depression and worse. The extent of the cheap credit bubble that the Fed, the ECB, and the Bank of Japan have engineered with buying up of bonds and maintaining unprecedented near zero or even negative interest rates for now 14 years is beyond imagination. Financial media cover it over with daily nonsense reporting while the world economy is being readied not for so-called stagflation or recession. What is coming now in the coming months, barring a dramatic policy reversal, is the worst economic depression in history to date. Thank you, globalization and Davos. Matt, can you break this down for us and simplify it?
Well, I think that's what we're here for today. I wanted to go back to basics because international political economy is the central field right now. And it's not just economics, but the domination of those corporate actors on the state, on politics. Only in the East do you have an alternative to that. He's right, you know, and he's one of my trusted writers, Engdahl. I've cited him so many times. And we've spoken about much of this, if not all of this, spread out over the, you know, the last however many years. Collapse is engineered because the way the regime works, it is a centrally planned economy. If there's only a handful of producers, if you have monopoly control over finance through the central bank, which all sit on the board of BlackRock and Fidelity, you can simply plan how things go. And he's right in the sense of nonsense reporting. Financial media is a joke. I just yesterday, in fact, or 2 days ago, there was a headline saying Ukraine economy might be heading into recession. And I just, you know, that's like saying someone is dying of cancer and you say, oh my God, they may get a cut on their finger. They haven't had a functional economy since the 90s. And yet, you know, they use the weasel words like recession as if it's a healthy economy to begin with. There is no functional economy there. There is no tax base there. There is an official ban, and I've been saying this for a long time, on the use of the word depression, even to the point where they'll call it a great recession. Recession is fairly mild, only a short period of time. Depression makes a lot more sense. You know, when the Great Depression hit in 29, you didn't have debt. You had a healthy land ownership. You had an extremely strong agricultural class. You had a unified nation. You had a strong sense of unity and purpose. None of that, of course, exists today. So you have a situation that is infinitely worse because going into this, most Americans were insolvent. Now, pretty much all Americans, with a small percentage at the very top, are insolvent, and they have no hope for the future. So this is where economy, politics, and psychology all come together.
Well, Engdahl puts all this down to globalization. He says the political pressures behind globalization and the creation of the World Trade Organization out of the Bretton Woods GATT trade rules with the 1994 Marrakesh Agreement ensured that the advanced industrial manufacturing of the West, most especially the USA, could flee offshore, outsource to create production in extreme low-wage countries. No country offered more benefit in the late 90s than China. China joined the WTO in 2001, and from then on, the capital flows into China manufacture from the West have been staggering. So too has been the build-up of China's dollar debt. Now that global world financial structure, based on record debt, is all beginning to come apart. When Washington deliberately allowed the September 2008 Lehman Brothers financial collapse, the Chinese leadership responded with panic and commissioned unprecedented credit to local governments to build infrastructure. Some of it was partly useful, such as a network of high-speed railways. Some of it was plainly wasteful, such as construction of empty ghost cities. For the rest of the world, the unprecedented China demand for construction steel, coal, oil, copper, and such was welcome, as fears of a global depression receded. But the actions by the US Fed and ECB after 2008, and of their respective governments, did nothing to address the systemic financial abuse of the world's major private banks on Wall Street and Europe, as well as Hong Kong. The August 71 Nixon decision to decouple the US dollar, the world reserve currency, from gold, opened the floodgates to global money flows. Ever more permissive laws favoring uncontrolled financial speculation in the US and abroad were imposed at every term, from Clinton's repeal of Glass-Steagall at the behest of Wall Street in November 99. That allowed the creation of megabanks so large that the government declared them too big to fail. That was a hoax, but the population believed it and bailed them out with hundreds of billions in taxpayer money. Since the crisis of 2008, the Fed and other major global central banks have created unprecedented credit, so-called helicopter money, to bail out the major financial institutions. The health of the real economy was not a goal. In the case of the Fed, Bank of Japan, ECB and Bank of England, a combined $25 trillion was injected into the banking system via quantitative easing, purchase of bonds, as well as dodgy assets like mortgage-backed securities over the past 14 years. So I wasn't really aware of this. So it was really China must have helped out with that crash that we had in 2008 by taking all this money and then investing it in building ghost cities and railways. Am I understanding that correctly, Matt?
Well, you know, the Chinese economy, despite the monthly claims that it's going to collapse at any moment, which I've always thought was just a deflection and projection, their economy actually has pretty good forecasts, despite the fact that their COVID response has been laughable. And it's just shocking to me how both the Russians and the Chinese have bought into this, although the Belarusians have not. That's really the main problem here. But the Chinese investment went to productive things. It went to infrastructure. It went to education. This is what happens when you have a non-corporate elite deciding where the money goes. But besides all that, they're a huge creditor country. Most countries owe them money. They have a huge internal market. If they could make peace with India, they'll be completely immune from all this, plus the fact they have a huge amount of gold. So they're hedged and cushioned against whatever might happen. During the Trump campaign, one of the things that made me cringe was his claim that the Chinese have stolen American jobs, as if they came into the U.S. and dismantled GM and brought it up. No, this was a subsidized move from American corporations to go take advantage of The two things the Chinese, really the three things the Chinese labor has, a tremendous work ethic, a very good education, and at the time, low wages. But now you even have Chinese companies going to the Philippines or Thailand or Vietnam. But when you compare the conditions of the U.S. and China, China is in better shape in almost every respect. I mean, even with the COVID nonsense, the Chinese have aided small business directly. Now, I don't know what communist ever wants to support small business or any business for that matter, but the Chinese do it. And they do have a more or less decentralized small business, small landholder economy. The COVID thing, I think, in China's case is at the root of it. And I never really got to the bottom of, other than the fact that it may have originated in the American company at the Wuhan and that they were somehow blamed for. Again, something else Trump said that made me cringe a little bit. But they've, you know, cut off their nose here. Now, the Glass-Steagall he mentions here is extremely important. That was a law that, among many other things, kept the different types of banks apart, including the ratings agencies. Once that was removed, bank consolidation went crazy. It was a giveaway to these banks. So you have the same people who are investing in bonds also rate them. And that was the nature of the fraud in 2008. But as, you know, millions and millions of Americans were evicted and lost their homes to the point now where home ownership is minimal. And most of those who do have homes are over their head in debt, not just, you know, the securities or the bonds, I should say, are worthless, but so are, you know, the people who suffer because of them. So these companies get billions, now trillions, of course, in subsidies. Whatever mistake they made is rectified by their friends at the Fed, which means not only did the average American lose their home or get evicted, but now they have to pay for the mistakes of these corporations, since as the Fed absorbs all of their bad bonds, and bonds are the center of the economy, not stocks, that's going to be paid for, at least in part, with taxpayer money. So now they're screwed twice over. And I remember in 2008, I said in writing that this massive bailout, if this doesn't create massive protests amongst Americans, then there is no hope. Because not only are they being screwed by these companies, but now they have to pay for them. And of course, now when you don't have you don't really have any production and you have supply chain disruptions, now you have the exact same amount of money chasing nothing. And because of the supply chain disruption, now you have inflation. I was by myself in predicting inflation the day of or the day after the lockdown was decreed, at least in the U.S., because production was collapsing anyway, because there was no recovery from 2008. It was all financial instruments, and whatever numbers that the Bureau of Labor Statistics wants to claim, the Treasury Department wants to claim that the GDP grew, that even to the extent it's legitimate, it only went to the top 0.5%. Something like 85% of any of the wealth that was created since 2008 went to that group of people. They can rig the game. They can control it. And I'll say it a million times. Capitalism has nothing to do with markets. It's the opposite of markets. The free market and capitalism are not just different, but they oppose one another. The way to succeed in capitalism is, of course, to be too big to fail. And in this case, they're able to privatize profit. In other words, the profit that they make, they keep for themselves. But the cost they have to pay, they externalize to everyone else. That's the key to winning in this system. Most corporations simply don't pay taxes. I think it's 14%. Of major firms actually pay taxes or run the tax rolls in any respect, and yet they're absorbing all of this profit, the massive growth, and we've talked about this too, massive growth in billionaires and billionaire wealth since the lockdown shows you who is controlling this, who is behind this, and the immiseration of the American worker is beyond belief, especially since their jobs are being taken, the massive invasion in Europe and the U.S. from non-white immigrants. And their radicalization by the regime itself, you know, you're at probably one of the most miserable points in American history, economically speaking.
Well, as it says here, the $25 trillion has been used in quantitative easing, and here is where it began to go really bad. The largest Wall Street banks, such as JP Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, Citigroup, or in London, HSBC or Barclays, lent billions to their major corporate clients. The borrowers, in turn, used the liquidity not to invest in new manufacturing or mining technology, but rather to inflate the value of their company stocks, so-called stock buybacks, termed maximizing shareholder value. BlackRock, Fidelity, banks and other investors loved the free ride. From the onset of Fed easing in 2008 to July 2020, some $5 trillion have been invested in such stock buybacks, creating the greatest stock market rally in history. Everything became financialized in the process. Corporations paid out $3.8 trillion in dividends in the period from 2010 to 2019. Companies like Tesla, which had never earned a profit, became more valuable than Ford and General Motors combined. Cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin reached market cap valuation over $1 trillion by late 2021. With Fed money flowing freely, banks and investment funds invested in high-risk, high-profit areas like junk bonds or emerging market debt in places like Turkey, Indonesia, or yes, China. The post-2008 era of quantitative easing and zero Fed interest rates led to absurd US government debt expansion. Since January 20, the Fed, Bank of England, European Central Bank and Bank of Japan have injected a combined $9 trillion in near zero rate credit into the world banking system. Since a Fed policy change in September 2019, it enabled Washington to increase public debt by a staggering $10 trillion in less than 3 years. Then the Fed again covertly bailed out Wall Street by buying $120 billion per month of US Treasury bonds and mortgage-backed securities, creating a huge bond bubble. A reckless Biden administration began doling out trillions in so-called stimulus money to combat needless lockdowns of the economy. US federal debt went from a manageable 35% of GDP in 1980 to more than 129% of GDP today. Only the Fed quantitative easing, buying of trillions of US government and mortgage debt, and the near zero rates made that possible. Now the Fed has begun to unwind that and withdraw liquidity from the economy with quantitative tightening plus rate hikes. This is deliberate. It is not about a stumbling Fed misjudging inflation. Matt, can you break this down for us? What's going on here?
Yeah, there's a lot here. Boiling it down, it goes something like this. 2008 was revolutionary. You saw the beginnings of justifying these bailouts. They'll use over-technical language like quantitative easing. And when you read about them in the financial press, they deliberately obfuscate the issues because there was no recovery despite the fact that there were 0%. But, of course, that only applies to the major firms. Of course, your average credit card, what are they paying, 20, 22% at least in this country? But if you're going to be bailed out anyway, you have no incentive to be careful. If you realize that the Federal Reserve controls the money, you know the people on the Federal Reserve, you all meet together, you're part of the same class together, you're invested in the same companies together, your incentive is to get involved in the most risky, which also means highest rate of return, forms of bond manipulation possible, because it really doesn't matter. Some of these corporations back years ago were saying that we paid all that money back, but all that meant was that they took this subsidy from the taxpayers, invested it somewhere, made a profit, and gave a portion of it back to their back to the Treasury Department, assuming that's even true. So it's still absurd. Even if they paid it all back, all that meant is that they were subsidized to make a giant profit. And of course, they don't pay taxes anyway. So and back, years ago, and to mention, Turkey and Indonesia, they're encouraged to borrow money, to build, do whatever they need to do with these very same bonds that are very risky. And then when there's any interest rate hike, they pull out. And now the government is left with massive amounts of debt. I think it's 61 countries in the third world that are dangerously collapsing in terms of debt. And the only person who wins, they can't pay it, So then all the assets become the banks. This is why globalization is the key to everything. Globalization meant that, you know, unionization is a thing of the past. Any kind of nationalism is a thing of the past. They can go from one country to another and wages go down to absolute rock bottom because you're not just competing with the guy next door. You're competing with the guy in China and India. And it also means the total deindustrialization of the Western world, which means there is no production. There's only the manipulation of money and creating more money out of thin air. And it's really tough to explain this to someone who's not initiated because they don't understand the terminology. And they can't understand that this, you know, again, the Chinese put this into productive capital. The U.S. gives it to themselves. This massive amount of borrowing that occurred because the interest rates were zero did not go into anything productive. It went into this stock buyback program, which only means that they artificially inflated their worth, making it seem like there's this huge demand for their stock. And of course, there wasn't. So everything is inflated. Everything is phony. And now Engdahl and so many others, Paul Craig Roberts, are saying, Katasonov, that the bill is coming due and the person who's going to pay it is the American. And the Great Reset is about canceling some of this debt in exchange for equity, meaning our homes, our businesses, you will own nothing and be happy. And so that's how these are connected. The destruction, whatever was left of the economy was absorbed in COVID. And now, of course, in Europe with massive energy price hikes, there's nothing left, but there's still private equity that they're still going to absorb. And maybe they'll forgive certain debts. That's what the Great Reset is all about.
Well, it seems green energy plays into this as well. Sadly, the Fed and other central bankers lie. Raising interest rates is not to cure inflation. It is to force a global reset in control over the world's assets. It is wealth, whether real estate, farmland, commodity production, industry, even water. The Fed knows very well that inflation is only beginning to rip across the global economy. What is unique is that now green energy mandates across the industrial world are driving this inflation crisis for the first time, something deliberately ignored by Washington, Brussels, and Berlin. The global shortages of fertilizers, soaring prices of natural gas, and grain supply losses from global drought or exploding costs of fertilizers and fuel, or the war in Ukraine, guarantee that at latest this September-October harvest time, we will undergo a global additional food and energy price explosion. Those shortages all are a result of deliberate policies. Moreover, far worse, inflation is certain, due to the pathological insistence of the world's leading industrial economies, led by the Biden administration's anti-hydrocarbon agenda. That agenda is typified by the astonishing nonsense of the US Energy Secretary stating, buy e-autos instead, as the answer to exploding gasoline prices. Similarly, the European Union has decided to phase out Russian oil and gas, with no viable substitute, as its leading economy, Germany, moves to shut its last nuclear reactor and close more coal plants. Germany and other EU economies, as a result, will see power blackouts this winter, and natural gas prices will continue to soar. In the second week of June in Germany, gas prices rose another 60% alone. Both the green-controlled German government and the Green Agenda Fit for 55 by the EU Commission continue to push unreliable and costly wind and solar at the expense of far cheaper and reliable hydrocarbons, ensuring an unprecedented energy-led inflation. So we have all this green energy, the cost of this as well, rather than using the fossil fuels that we have. And then, of course, we have all these sanctions that have been put on one of the main providers of fossil fuels, Russia. And I think also Biden has just come out with some plan for America to use green energy. Perhaps you might bring that into your response here, Matt.
Yeah, again, a lot going on here. In the very first sentence, he talks about what this really is all about. You raise rates even a little, the prime rate, that is, rates of other debt are going to go through the roof because now people are getting scared. So that means they can't be repaid. That means no new credit is going to be issued except to the handful of people, and they're going to lose what little they have because they're underwater in the first place. As I said, Great Depression, you had a much different America. I think now we're starting to see what the purpose of this migrant invasion was. All that the regime is going to do, they did it in France, they've done it before, that any uprising, once their economy is non-existent And now you have these tens of millions of useless eaters, at the way that the regime calls them. They're just going to say this is a racist movement, and they have now millions of third worlders to mobilize right next door to shut it down. They'll talk about racism of any kind of nationalist movement, or it's pro-Russian propaganda, and the racists in America are financing it. That's what these guys are for. They're to shut us up. They're to make sure that we don't say anything. They're there to make sure that there can be no union, the destruction of any pro-labor policy, because the point is pay them almost nothing and then force the state to take care of benefits. That was Walmart's agenda. Again, privatizing profit and socializing cost, the very nature of what's going on here. Both Biden and Liz Truss, we talked about it recently, have said that, well, too bad, you're going to suffer. But when you have no serious nationalist political organization, when you have not of any size or money, who's going to be resisting this? The left is going to be mobilized to destroy us, not to fight against the system. So they're in an excellent position, not to mention, of course, they realize what they're able to do with the corona scare. They could get people to stay home over the tiniest thing. So, and they realize how easy to manipulate a lot of these people are. They, Americans, and I think even Northern Europeans, they don't really think in systematic terms. They don't realize how one piece is connected to the other piece and how it creates a system. That's what Engdahl means by this is deliberate. This has nothing to do with incompetence. They're evil, but they're not incompetent. They know precisely what they're doing. Triggering a panic means that whatever remaining assets that we own collectively are going to disappear. And people with mortgages, that's why I hate mortgages. They're usually unavoidable. As the value of that increases, as banks start getting worried, I mean, I think 70% of mortgages are underwater. I think more than 2 months behind, something like that. Of course, that was very similar in 2008 too. And they're talking about the possibility of a recession. Of course, the U.S. has been in an intense depression since at least 2008, if not the early 90s. And that's, when we talked about Nixon and the dollar, that's precisely when globalization hit. Immigration from the third world had started since 1965. Union busting. All of this. The Teamsters were destroyed. Anything that could stand in the way of globalization had to be destroyed. And that includes me and you. That also explains the full censorship agenda. And it relies on this column of useless idiots, the typical American or British leftist who believes whatever the media tells them. That's as of right now, that really is the enemy, intellectually speaking, because those are the people who roll their eyes when we talk, have no response, of course. And of course, beyond all that, this is all based on junk science. Global warming is a myth. I've been saying that since it first hit in 1990. And that's the foundation of removing the hydrocarbons. And really, all of a sudden, sanctions on Russia then have two purposes. Northern Europe is now pretty much in third world status, both economically and because of the invasion. The Swedish welfare model, which was based on it being a homogenous, lightly populated country, has been dismantled now that the country has been invaded. And if all else fails, they could claim that Russia is going to invade Central Europe and start a war, or do it in Asia, or both. That will shut everybody up. So the censorship stuff really hit with COVID. I mean, it's been around since I was a kid, but systematically. In COVID, and of course, the George Floyd thing, where whites are now non-existent as far as the regime is concerned. So all of these pieces hold together. They know that their position is illegitimate. They know that they produce nothing, that they give nothing back, that they don't pay taxes. So the only way to justify their rule is to use all of these scares, one faction against another, and silence the one real enemy that they have, which is us.
Well, the Fed has now pulled the plug on it all with the 0.75% Fed rate hike, the largest in almost 30 years, and the promise of more to come. The US central bank has now guaranteed a collapse of not merely the US debt bubble, but also much of the post-2008 global debt of $303 trillion. Rising interest rates after almost 15 years means collapsing bond values, and bonds, not stocks, are the heart of the global financial system. US mortgage rates have now doubled in just 5 months to above 6%, and home sales were already plunging before the latest rate hike. US corporations took on record debt owing to the years of ultra-low rates. Some 70% of that debt is rated just above junk status. That corporate non-financial debt totaled $9 trillion in 2006. Today, it exceeds $18 trillion. Now, a large number of those marginal companies will not be able to roll over the old debt with new, and bankruptcies will follow in coming months. The cosmetics giant Revlon just declared bankruptcy. The highly speculative, unregulated crypto market, led by Bitcoin, is collapsing as investors realize there is no bailout there. Last November, the crypto world had a $3 trillion valuation. Today, it is less than half, and with more collapse underway. Even before the latest Fed rate hike, the stock value of the US megabanks had lost some $300 billion. Now, with stock market further panic selling guaranteed as a global economic collapse grows, those banks are pre-programmed for a new severe bank crisis over the coming months. As US economist Doug Noland recently noted, today, there's a massive periphery loaded with subprime junk bonds, leveraged loans, buy now, pay later, auto, credit card, housing and solar securitizations, franchise loans, private credit, crypto credit, DeFi, and so on and on and on. A massive infrastructure has evolved over this long cycle to spur consumption for tens of millions while financing thousands of uneconomic enterprises. The periphery has become systemic like never before, and things have started to break. The federal government will now find its interest cost of carrying a record $30 trillion in federal debt far more costly. Unlike the 1930s Great Depression, when federal debt was near nothing, today the government, especially since the Biden budget measures, is at the limits. The US is becoming a third world economy. If the Fed no longer buys trillions of US debt, who will? China? Japan? Not likely. Well, what's going to happen then, Matt, if nobody buys the debt?
Well, what I think I've been trying to say from the beginning, not just today, but for a long time, is that the political regimen with the regime, the ideological uniformity that the regime has imposed on us, is designed, at least in part, to justify this system, to prevent any serious uprising against the system as a whole, rather than just one corporation or one government. You may have noticed that as we're reading this, governments, states, are less and less relevant. And then, as I've been saying before, they've been privatized, and they're completely dependent on these bank loans. Pretty soon, it's going to be like Ukraine, where about just 20% of the budget outlays come from taxes, and about 45% of that budget is based on debt service. They're going to start slashing programs all over the place. Now, if it was a healthy society, you would already have had a substantial rebellion against this, but it's not a healthy society. And all of these methods of funding, when you raise interest rates, that means that bonds that were issued previously at the low rate then become really worthless. No one wants them. So that just collapses them even more quickly. Even a tiny rate is going to create panic because the leverage is so overwhelming. Frankly, I think most Americans, most Englishmen can't wrap their brain around these numbers. It wasn't that long ago. You would never use the word trillion. Now it's every 2 minutes. I say $300 billion, it's a drop in the bucket because it is. So anything that raises the cost of money is going to destroy the overwhelming majority, small businesses and individuals who are marginal under the best of circumstances. They can't afford to do it, pay their bills as of now, let alone when the energy goes through the roof. And of course, that's pure gouging in the U.S. because the U.S. doesn't get much oil from Russia or even the Middle East for that matter. It's just gouging. They find an excuse. But when you do that to an already suffering population and still nothing happens, it's like you're dealing with a corpse here or a body that's so sick that it can't fight back. There is no substantial rebel leadership out there. Most of our people either went to prison or have been, sued into silence. None of this is accidental. And even with the crypto collapse, it just goes to show that this, money is being sucked out of the economy so quickly and padding the accounts of those who rule us that, you know, economics is a zero-sum game in America because there is no production. There's not even the infrastructure available for production. And that infrastructure that does exist is completely collapsing. You know, cities are completely ungovernable. So, you know, that just means drug use is going to go up, irrationality, psychological illnesses. And so the regime is going to come around with a great reset agenda saying we can relieve you of this so long as you don't have a long-term job. We'll put you on a universal income and digitize money so it can simply shut down the bank accounts of anyone who disagrees, which is already beginning. Biden just signed a artificial intelligence executive order putting money into this bioengineering. Every possible angle has been covered to justify the complete rape of the non-productive economy. You're going to have an increase in suicides, especially from white males that make 80% of suicides as it is, because now they see themselves as absolutely superfluous. And all the attention is going to go to this 1% who still believe that we have this money because we're better than you are. And this is also where the population control and the immigrant invasion all come in to silence those who have had enough of this nonsense.
Well, what we are seeing now is the deleveraging of the bubble, with the Fed now imposing a quantitative tightening, withdrawing tens of billions in bonds and other assets monthly, as well as raising key interest rates. Financial markets have begun a deleveraging. It will likely be jerky as key players like BlackRock and Fidelity seek to control the meltdown for their own purposes. But the direction is clear. By late last year, investors had borrowed almost $1 trillion in margin debt to buy stocks. That was in a rising market. Now the opposite holds, and margin borrowers are forced to give more collateral or sell their stocks to avoid default. That feeds the coming meltdown. With collapse of both stocks and bonds in coming months, go the private retirement savings of tens of millions of Americans in programs like 401k. Credit card auto loans and other consumer debt in the USA has ballooned in the past decade to a record $4.3 trillion at the end of 21. Now interest rates on that debt, especially credit card, will jump from an already high 16%, and defaults on those credit loans will skyrocket. Outside the US, what we will see now as the Swiss National Bank, Bank of England and even the ECB are forced to follow the Fed raising rates is the global snowballing of defaults, bankruptcies, amidst a soaring inflation which the central bank interest rates have no power to control. About 27% of global non-financial corporate debt is held by Chinese companies, estimated at $23 trillion. Another $32 trillion worth of corporate debt is held by US and EU companies. Now, China is in the midst of its worst economic crisis since 30 years, with little sign of recovery. With the USA, China's largest customer, going into an economic depression, China's crisis can only worsen, and that will not be good for the world economy. Italy, with a national debt of $3.2 trillion, has a debt to GDP of 150%. Only ECB negative interest rates have kept that from exploding in a new banking crisis. Now that explosion is pre-programmed, despite soothing words from Lagarde of the ECB. Japan, with a 260% debt level, is the worst of all industrial nations and is in a trap of zero rates with more than $7.5 trillion in public debt. The yen is now falling seriously and destabilizing all of Asia. The heart of the world financial system, contrary to popular belief, is not stock markets, it is bond markets, government, corporate and agency bonds. This bond market has been losing value as inflation has soared and interest rates have risen since 21 in the US, A and EU. Globally, this comprises some $250 trillion in asset value, a sum that with every Fed interest rise loses more value. The last time we had such a major reverse in bond values was 40 years ago in the Paul Volcker era, with 20% interest rates to squeeze out inflation. As bond prices fall, the value of bank capital falls. The most exposed to such a loss of value are major French banks, along with Deutsche Bank in the EU, along with the largest Japanese banks. US banks like JP Morgan Chase are believed to be only slightly less exposed to a major bond crash. Much of their risk is hidden in off-balance sheet derivatives and such. However, unlike in 2008, today, central banks can't rerun another decade of zero interest rates and quantitative easing. This time, as insiders like ex-Bank of England head Mark Carney noted 3 years ago, the crisis will be used to force the world to accept a new central bank digital currency, a world where all money will be centrally issued and controlled. This is also what Davos and the World Economic Forum people mean by their Great Reset. It will not be good. A global planned financial tsunami has just begun. Matt, what are your final thoughts?
And with all of this that we've just spoken about, the financial press debates whether or not the U.S. is heading towards recession or not. I mean, that's the level of disconnect between the financial press, I mean, let alone the popular press, the financial press and reality. The purpose of the financial press isn't much different from the popular press. The purpose is to cover all of this over, to make believe that none of this matters, that recovery is around the corner, despite the fact we know in the past this recovery has simply been artificially inflated values. If you look at any measure that talks about production, like freight, for example, deliveries, energy use, there is no improvement. But when they do a stock buyback and their company artificially goes up in value, they call that economic growth. So he's right. He's right on almost all of this. They're going to be forced to accept a centralized currency. The whole point of a downturn, is to remove marginal players from the game. And now you have the BlackRock monopoly, which, it's a prime mover of the Davos movement and the green energy movement, by the way. Unfortunately, this is just getting started. And I still say that most Americans, most Englishmen, aren't even going to know what's happening because of the nature of the media.
Well, Radio Albion listeners certainly are. Thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Grandpa Dan. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.